A royal blue background fills the screen with white words at its center. Sony Pictures Classics. Close glimpses show parts of a white word. Over black, the word comes into focus. Topic. Text appears. 1. I'm sorry. 2 men ride bicycles up a countryside road.
Can you go slower?
Sorry.
Ahead of them, our view draws back, tracking the men at a distance.
Can I have the water bottle?
Sony Pictures Classics and Topic present. One man passes a water bottle to the other.
It's called a beat-up.
What's in it?
Orangina?
A Topic Studios and Watch This Ready production.
Thanks.
No problem.
No, thanks for this. For getting me out here. I never would have thought of doing this. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I kind of need it because I've been getting fat.
Yeah. Most people get in shape before their wedding.
Yeah. I didn't do that.
Yeah. Hey, when we hit the hill up here, try to keep like a steady cadence.
What's a cadence?
Your pedal cadence. It's the rhythm of your feet as they move.
Okay.
You just want to keep them consistently moving.
All right. So you're like really into this.
Cycling?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I love it. You know, it's beautiful. You sweat a lot.
Yeah.
Helps me clear my head when, you know,
maybe when I get back home, I can get a bike and we can do it together. This could be like our thing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Cool.
The friends bike side by side.
Mike, I'm getting married. How awesome is that?
Awesome.
She's the best. She's like the best person ever.
Mike pulls ahead.
I don't have to change to be with her, you know? Remember how Marissa made me get that Rob Thomas haircut? And Tina made me be an atheist for a year?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Ava isn't like that. She loves me for who I am. And I love her for who she is. I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with her.
Kyle, I slept with Ava.
What? What do you mean slept?
Like, we sexually slept together.
Kyle rides his bike in a circle, then pedals faster to catch up with Mike.
Oh, my God. I'm gonna fucking kill you. I'm gonna fucking kill you. When did you sleep together?
I don't know the exact dates. I didn't...
Dates?
Dude, slow down. You should pace yourself.
How long?
Like a quarter mile.
Now, how long has this been going on? When did it start?
When she moved to New York.
3 years ago. This whole fucking time?
No. No, not the whole time. It was, you know... It was before you guys started dating.
Kyle carries his bike as he struggles to run up the hill after Mike. A group of cyclists, all dressed in matching outfits, pedal behind him. Kyle sets down his bike as the cyclists speed past him.
Allez, allez, on y va, on lâche rien.
Mike starts pedaling faster. In a single file line, the cyclist group rides past him. One member of the group lags behind. Mike starts to slow down. The last cyclist in the group acknowledges Mike as she passes by.
Bonjour.
Kyle struggles to catch up as they ride around a curve in the mountain road. Mike continues pedaling roughly a dozen feet ahead of his friend.
Okay. Okay, Mike. You guys slept together. It happened. It's in the past.
It also happened in the present.
Ah, fuck, Mike!
Switch gears. Need to pedal at a higher cadence.
Fuck you, Mike. You're like a real-life Judas.
On the plus side, that makes you like Jesus, so that's like a...
Was that a joke? Are you making a joke?
You're right. It's a bad taste.
Mike glances back at Kyle as they ride.
Kyle, what do you want me to say?
I'm sorry.
Mike holds out his hand in a shrug.
I didn't plan this. It's sort of just like... it happened. I don't know. There's something about her. Like, she's smart and she's interesting and she does this thing with her hips that I've never...
The hip thing? She's my fiancée. You think I don't know about the hip thing?
You're right. I'm sorry.
Oh, if I catch you, I'm gonna kill you.
I know. That's why I waited for the hill.
Kyle's bike wobbles as he struggles to pedal faster. Mike glances back at him.
Yeah, you got this. Come on.
Mike, shut up.
Dig.
Fuck you.
Push it.
Why are you doing this?
Mike pedals harder, staying several feet ahead of Kyle.
I just thought you'd want to know.
Why would I want to know?
I don't know, man. You're getting married, and I'm your best man, I had to tell you.
You're not my best man anymore.
I wrote a speech.
I don't care.
They both pedal at a slower pace.
Who's going to be your best man?
Anybody, Mike. Anybody but you is going to be my best man.
Mike hands Kyle his water bottle. Kyle takes a swig, then hurls the bottle away.
It's like a $30 beat on.
What does beat on even mean?
A small red car drives up behind them.
I think it's like a French word for bicycle water bottle. Go around! Go around! Fucking go around!
Everyone should go around!
Yes? Fuck you! Motherfucker!
The car passes them, and Mike speeds after it down a flat stretch of road. Our view lingers on Kyle, who coasts along at a steady pace. The pudgy young man wears a sleeveless shirt and a neon green helmet. A title appears, The Climb. Wincing, Kyle fights back tears as he rides quickly along the smooth road. Credits appear, Kyle Marvin. Michelangelo Covino. Gail Rankin. Talia Balsam. George Wendt. With Judith Godrèche. Kyle approaches an intersection and slows down. Subtitles appear. Get out of the way, asshole. What's up, motherfucker?
We gotta share the fucking road!
You hooligan.
What the fuck is your problem, motherfucker?
The driver grabs Mike.
Fucking asshole. Get the fuck off me!
As he pins Mike down, the driver's son watches from the small red car. Papa, are you okay? Yes, yes, my chickadee. Get back in your seat. I won't be long.
Fucking stop!
The driver kicks Mike. He steps toward the car, then kicks him again. The driver gets back in his car. Mike crawls to the side of the road. Several horses stand nearby, each tied to a wooden fence. The car turns around, then drives away. Written by Michelangelo Covino, Kyle Marvin. Directed by Michelangelo Covino.
Horses. Thought
you were a good fighter.
Mike stands.
Your shoes have no traction.
In a hospital room.
Swear to me that it's not going to happen again.
I swear.
Like you mean it, Mike. Swear that it's not going to happen again.
I swear it won't happen again.
A doctor touches Mike's torso. It's a bruise. Bruise. It's nothing.
He's saying it's blue. It's blue.
Okay, I have looked over your x-rays. You have nothing broken. It's only bruised. However, I would like to do some tests to make sure he hasn't suffered any head trauma. Yes?
Oui?
What's he saying?
I don't know. He's speaking so fast.
Est-ce que vous me comprenez? Comprenez-vous français?
Are you understanding me? Do you understand French? Yes, I studied the French in high school.
Il a des bleus sévères, mais rien de
cassé. He has some severe bruising, but nothing is broken. Can you tell that to your friend? He's not my friend. Come with me.
Come.
Kyle leaves the room with the doctor. Mike sits on the hospital bed wearing his cycling attire. He gingerly stands and moves to a small mirror. Mike checks a bloody wound on the back of his shoulder. He inspects a scrape on his face. Mike adjusts the brim of his cycling cap. He takes the cap off and touches his dark, messy hair. A brunette stands in the doorway.
Hey.
Hey.
What happened to your hair?
Oh, I had a hat on.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. I think I broke a rib. With the doctor.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, emotionally, he's not, but...
What happened?
The brunette steps into the room and faces Mike.
I told him about us.
And he beat you up?
No, a Frenchman beat me up. I think he used Krav Maga. I wouldn't even say he beat me
up. Mike, we talked about this. It's over.
I know. I know, that's what I said. I said it was over. You know, and what we did was, like, stupid and meaningless.
Yeah, it was meaningless.
Right, that's what I said.
And stupid.
And you guys love each other. And you're getting married.
Yes, we're getting married.
I'm happy for you.
Me too.
Mike lowers his disappointed gaze. Ava stares at him.
Look, Mike, it's better like this. You know, I thought a lot about our story, and it didn't start good. It means something.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I don't know why I said that.
Mike looks away and shakes his head.
Just I think about it a lot.
What?
And I love you. I'm sorry, I'm not thinking clearly. I think I have a concussion. I'm sorry, please don't tell Kyle. Fuck.
He stands, then rubs his eye.
Fuck!
Ava gazes at him. Fucking shit.
What does that mean?
It means fuck, you make me shit!
I'm sorry.
They stare at each other, then start kissing passionately. Kyle spots them through a window.
Oh my god. Mike, are you serious? You just promised!
Kyle, wait! Wait!
Ava follows Kyle.
Can we talk?
About what?
About this.
No, I don't want to talk about this. I fucking hate this.
Okay.
He starts to walk away.
Okay, you know what? I do want to talk about this. What's happening?
Do you
love me? Look at me.
Yes.
Okay. Good. And do you still want to get married?
Ava stares at Kyle. Cut to black. Text appears. 2. Let go. At a cemetery.
Will descend from heaven with a cry of command. With the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God.
Standing by a casket, the priest faces gathered mourners.
And the dead in Christ.
He glances across the cemetery at a backhoe.
And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are left, who are alive, will be caught up together with them.
The backhoe drives down a paved path. Behind it, Kyle crosses the cemetery. He approaches the funeral service. Sporting a beard, Kyle wears a brown blazer and dark tan pants. He continues toward the funeral. He joins the other mourners.
And to support one another, we who are alive, who are left, and who right now are experiencing a moment of immense sorrow. But our faith tells us that this very same moment is a moment of immense joy. And she is now in the hands of the Heavenly Father. And right now, her husband Michael would like to say a few words.
Looking despondent, Mike walks around the casket and hugs the priest.
Thank you, Father.
God bless. God bless you, Father.
Mike stares briefly at a large portrait of Ava.
Thank you, Father, for the beautiful words. Strange hearing them because Ava really didn't believe in heaven. She was more into the idea of reincarnation. This all happened so fast. I didn't even know where to begin finding a priest who would talk about reincarnation, so I just went with the basic package they sold me at the funeral home. I was planning on... Sorry. Thank you, Father, for being here. I think I'm fucking this up. I'm sorry.
Mike picks up a shovel which lies near the grave. A worker stops him.
I'm sorry. This is a Union cemetery. I can't let you do that.
I was just going to throw some dirt on the thing and go
home. Sorry. Unless you're local 365, I can't let you touch the equipment.
It's a fucking shovel.
Michael, it's okay. It's okay.
I'm sorry, Father. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Give me the fucking shovel. I'm going to put some fucking dirt on the thing and I'm going to go home. Back the fuck up!
Put the shovel down!
Back up!
Michael. Put it down!
No. Ava!
Mike accidentally breaks the portrait. A worker tackles him.
Hey!
Intervening, Kyle shoves the workers off Mike. Mike tackles Kyle and they roll on the ground.
Mike!
Mike spots him and looks surprised.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey.
I didn't think you were going to come.
They both stand up.
Thanks for coming.
Mike hugs Kyle, who keeps his arms at his sides. He awkwardly pats Mike on the back. Mike wanders away. He stops and looks back at Kyle.
I miss her.
No, I get it.
They head away from the funeral.
Yeah, you're the only one who gets it.
Kyle starts back toward the grave.
You know, she started rescuing dogs. At one point, I had like 7 dogs living in my house. It was like a kennel, but they weren't like normal, like, dogs. They were like street dogs. This one dog, Gus, would growl at me. I would fear.
Grinning sadly, Mike hangs his head. Kyle gazes at him.
That's the thing, it's like... We built this life together, and it wasn't perfect, but it was ours. She was patient and loving. People would tell me that when you get married, the sex is supposed to go downhill, but like, it didn't. It went uphill, like, fast uphill. Okay. Got, like, real crazy. We started getting upset.
Come here. Hey.
The funeral guests stare at them. Mike and Kyle stroll away down the cemetery path.
Now I'm stuck with all these dogs. You were my best friend. And I know I lost that. Yeah, but now I lost my wife.
They stop and face each other.
I'm sorry.
Kyle and Mike hug. They separate and step back.
I'm not sorry for being with her, obviously, because I loved her, and I would do that again, but, like, I'm sorry for what it did to us, you know?
Kyle shakes his head and walks away. Mike stands alone. By the backhoe, cemetery workers look directly at us as they sing.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like the tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water.
One worker stands in an open grave.
I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water. I shall not be moved.
Cut to black. Text appears. 3. Thanks. A close view shows someone's hand as they shut the tape deck on a stereo and press play. Our view draws back from the stereo to reveal Kyle, now leaner, sitting on the edge of a bed in a basement. He wears a serious expression. Kyle bows his head and shuts his eyes. Looking up, he mouths the song lyrics.
She grew up with the children of the stars.
He takes off his jacket.
In the Hollywood hills and the boulevard.
Kyle unbuttons his shirt.
Her parents threw big parties. Everyone was there.
He stands up.
They hung out with folks like Dennis Hopper and Bob Seger and Sonny and Cher.
Kyle takes off his pants in a dramatic manner. He spins in a circle, then dances seductively around a pole.
She feels safe now in this bar on Fairfax.
He removes his shirt and tosses it.
And from the stage, I can tell that she can't let go and she can't relax. And just before she hangs her head to cry,
he swings around the pole again.
I sing to her a lullaby.
He continues dancing in his underwear.
Everything's gonna be alright. Rock-a-bye.
A slim blonde woman stops the tape. She smokes a cigarette.
Hey, I was just doing the whole seduction thing.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I thought you thought it was funny.
It was funny when you were fat, but now it just feels too serious.
She sits on a washer.
Are you gonna talk to them?
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving. I'm gonna talk to everyone.
Kyle, I'm fucking serious.
Okay, I will, but like, if we make this into a thing, it's gonna be a thing.
It is a thing.
Kyle, turkey's ready.
You need to tell her.
Okay, Mom.
You know your mom doesn't like me.
What are you talking about? My mom loves you.
She didn't like me in high school.
That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you shouldn't smoke in here because she can smell it and it's like a whole thing.
Kyle, this turkey needs to be cut.
Okay, Mom, I'm coming.
Just tell her no.
The slim woman puts out her cigarette.
But I'm the turkey cutter.
Have you ever said no to your mother?
Yeah.
I honestly don't believe that you have.
Okay.
But let's just practice. Just say it to me. Just say no.
No.
I don't believe it. Okay, let's try. Kyle, can you take me to the airport?
Sure. I mean, no. Wait, do you have to go to the airport?
Okay, let's just try it again. We're just saying no.
Okay.
She sits Kyle down on the bed.
Kyle, can you take me to the airport?
No.
Here, just ask me something.
Okay, can you take me to the airport?
No, absolutely not. Did you believe me?
Yeah.
Good.
That's great.
Can you take me to the airport?
No.
No, you need to mean it.
No.
No, say it again.
No.
No. No.
No.
No. No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
Can you get me to the fucking airport?
No.
Yeah.
She kisses him passionately.
Yeah, that was good.
As they continue kissing, the blonde sits on a dresser. Kyle lowers out of view. He yanks off her pants and puts his face between her legs. As our view slowly pulls away across the basement, the blonde knocks items off the dresser.
Fuck.
Our view continues up the basement stairs. A woman in an apron stands in the doorway.
Mom, what are you doing?
I think they're fighting. You have to give them some privacy.
It's my house.
Danny, we don't like her.
Wait. Why don't we like her?
Because...
The sisters walk off.
Oh, Kyle, please, your father's cutting the turkey.
Several members of Kyle's family interact in the dining room.
Who wants a Manhattan?
I'll take it.
Yes, Grandma, you want a Manhattan?
Kyle's dad uses an electric carver on the turkey.
Whoa, whoa, Dad, I can't cut it like that. You can't cut it right down the middle.
Okay, well, I'm just getting cold, so I...
It's okay, I got it. Okay.
Kyle's pale sister enters the kitchen with drinks.
Mama? You want a Manhattan?
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Oh, my God, Mom, that's so good.
She hands a drink to Kyle, who carves the turkey. His mom approaches.
Kyle, is everything okay?
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I thought I heard fighting downstairs.
No, we're fine.
I mean, if you're going through a rough patch...
Mom, please. Just stop.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know you've been through a lot, but, you know, I didn't like her when you were together in high school, and then you followed her to SUNY.
I chose to go to
SUNY. You got into Amherst.
Mom, we're not having this conversation
broke
right
up with
now.
You in the first semester. Kyle, your commercial's on. Come on.
Kyle follows his family members into the living room.
Come on.
Where's the remote?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. It's only over there.
Yeah. Just sit down. Where's
the remote? No, why would I take it upstairs? Always...
Oh, got it.
The family members watch excitedly.
Side effects of Wellvitra may include bleeding, hemorrhaging, dizziness, and seizures.
What's going on?
Oh, it's Kyle's commercials.
Users have reported severe mood swings and suicidal thoughts. Those taking birth control should talk to your doctor before using Wellvitra.
I just did the jingle.
Oh, what does it do?
It's Viagra for women, Grandma. It makes you wet.
Go.
What? Oh. A moving view follows a woman out of the living room.
Pretty good marketing.
She crosses the hall and spots Kyle's girlfriend.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Your skirt's
Thank you.
The slim blonde adjusts her skirt, then goes into the dining room. Kyle's sisters join her.
Hey.
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 Hi. You want a Manhattan?
No, I'm good. Kyle and I are doing this no sugar diet.
There's sugar in this? I thought this was just alcohol.
Hey.
Hey.
You just missed Kyle's commercial.
Oh, I've seen it. Oh, isn't it great?
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel like it was written for men, though?
A bald man passes.
Oh, it was written for men.
Well, I thought it was great.
So did I.
Kyle's parents stand with the blonde.
Yeah, listen, for New Year's, Jim bought all of us tickets to the Thomas Olive Inn, so I don't know what your plans were, but if you wanted to join us, we could get an extra ticket. Yeah. So there's a full dinner and live music.
Yeah, the DJ Tomlin Orchestra is playing.
That's so cool. Actually, Kyle and I planned this big ski trip for New Year's. I thought he might have told you guys about it.
No.
Hey, Kyle.
Yeah.
Come in here for a second.
Sure.
Kyle enters. The blonde takes his drink.
Are you drinking right now?
Yeah, Kyle, you know the tickets for the Thomas Olive Inn, they're non-refundable, so maybe you could just push your dates back for your trip for a couple days?
Kyle's girlfriend gives him a look.
No. I'm sorry, Mom. No. I'll pay for the tickets.
Oh, Kyle, it's not about the money.
What is it about?
Family,
guys,
you know,
on.
Family. Family's supposed to spend the holidays together.
I agree.
Kyle paces away.
So, what did we decide then? Should I get another ticket?
No.
Okay.
Kyle, can you tell her now?
Okay. We're getting married.
Looking surprised, Kyle's parents smile.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
What's happening?
They're getting married.
Oh, my God. Yay, sisters.
Yeah.
Oh,
Danny hugs them.
We're getting married.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, let me see the ring.
Oh, I'm designing it.
Bianca stands in the kitchen.
Wait, they're getting married? Oh, my God.
What's going on?
Kyle got engaged, Grandma.
Oh, my God.
Grandma, I'm getting married.
Wow.
Yeah.
His grandma looks at the blonde.
Yeah. Where's up?
Hi. Oh, yeah, nice to meet you.
We've met.
Mom, I'm sorry. I was going to tell you sooner.
It's okay. I'm happy if you're happy.
Okay, thanks.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Good. I'm really sorry about all the things that I said about her before. It's just that you're my only son, and I want what's best for you, all right? And I love you.
I love you too, Mom.
Kyle hugs his mother. They gaze at each other.
I invited Mike for Christmas.
Kyle's grin fades.
What?
Yes.
You invited Mike to Christmas?
I know,
well,
I know.
Are you
Listen
doing?
To me. There's nothing that's going to make that okay, but he is not doing well. He has no family. We were his only family, and now he has no one.
Yeah, well, maybe he should have thought about that before you.
Kyle, oh. Wait a minute.
Are we really having this conversation?
To be caring and compassionate and forgiving, so maybe you should just look at this as a test to see if you can find. No!
The turkey lies on the floor.
Gertie, really?
What happened?
She ate the turkey.
Kyle's mom lets the dog outside.
Outside.
Our view exits the house, then drifts along the porch and into the driveway. Autumn leaves lie atop the cars.
I've got this drinking thing.
As our view continues along the driveway, time rapidly passes. At night, snow and frost covers the parked vehicles.
Who you been with? What you done?
Mike sits in his car.
And it's a lonely thing.
Looking depressed, he stares off.
But it's the only thing.
He turns off the engine and the overhead light comes on. Mike retrieves a bottle of liquor. He takes off the cap and sighs. Mike chugs from the bottle. Liquor drips down his beard and onto his shirt.
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit.
He puts the bottle aside. Mike takes off his button-up shirt, revealing his sizable belly beneath his undershirt. Mike reaches into his back seat and grabs a sweater, then sniffs it. He puts the sweater on over the undershirt. Mike grabs the keys. The disheveled man gets out of his car. He heads up the snowy driveway and approaches Kyle's family home, decorated with Christmas lights. Mike steps onto the porch and passes the living room window. Inside, the bald man sits with a woman. Kyle's grandma watches a toy train.
Keep a small bottle of Dawn in your apartment. When you get in an accident, then slam that bottle of Dawn right in front of you.
Wow.
That way they can't prove whether you were drunk before or after the accident.
So this is real warm, nice.
Oh.
I'm coming to what it would be like to run a train.
Oh, I've run a
train. Oh, hey, Gertie.
Oh, my God. Mike, hey. Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dave.
Hey, come in.
Hey.
Good to see you. There's
you too.
Food in the dining room and drinks in the kitchen.
Okay, thanks.
Come on, Gertie.
Mike enters the living room.
Is that Michael?
Hey, Grandma.
What happened?
Oh, no.
He hugs Kyle's grandma. The bald man gets up from the couch.
You gotta go get a haircut, okay?
Oh, this guy doesn't need a haircut. He's a lady killer. He's like a hawk. He just swoops in. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm okay, Uncle Mark.
Still outside the house, our view moves to the dining room.
He's a freshman. He hasn't had a rocket arm yet, but he's got great feet. Susie and I drove up to the carrier dome to watch
him. Hey, Bianca.
Mike,
hey, how's it going?
He's already got offers from Rutgers, GC.
Hey, Daddy, he's here.
Oh, my God, buddy.
Hey.
Oh, it's great to see you, kiddo.
Good to see you, Joe.
You too. Just telling George about this new freshman quarterback they got at Yorktown. Have you seen this kid yet?
No, I haven't.
You want a drink?
Yeah.
Just take mine. I just made it.
Thank you.
Your sweater's on backwards.
I'll never forget that game against Fox Lane. You freaked that defensive end right out of his jockstrap. You guys made a great team. You out on the field there, Kyle, playing the trumpet.
Our view drifts to the kitchen.
Hey, Mike's here.
Okay.
He's kind of fat, just a heads up.
Why would I need a heads up?
No. Kyle, Mike's in the living room. Yeah, I just told him. He got fat, right? Yeah.
Kyle walks away. Our view continues around the house.
Fine.
Marissa stands with Jackie in the sunroom.
I don't know, Danny.
Where are you going?
How's the whole jewelry website going?
It's good. Kyle started working with me.
Wow. I thought he already had a job.
Yeah,
I think he's going to quit.
We got so many orders this Christmas, and Kyle got really good at gift wrapping.
Mike chugs a drink in the kitchen.
I'm going to get some air.
She just can't teach. I mean, Mike had that. He's a natural athlete. Shame he didn't play in college.
Ooh.
Kyle's sisters join Jackie.
What are you guys talking about?
Fashion.
Oh, does she know more about fashion than we do? Why are you hanging out with her?
She's cool.
How is she cool?
She's pretty and she still lives in New York.
Marissa and George smoke outside. They both stare off. Marissa heads back inside the house.
Jim Harrison says, I never understood the general acceptance of bad hands in America.
Mike steps outside.
I mean, think about it. One hand is really good.
George eyes Mike, then pulls out his pack of cigarettes. He offers them to Mike without looking at him. Mike takes a cigarette, then hands the pack back to George. As Mike reaches into his pocket, George gives him a lighter. Mike lights his cigarette and takes a drag. George takes back the lighter. George glances at Mike, then takes a final drag of his cigarette before heading toward the house. Mike remains outside alone. He takes another drag from his cigarette. Kyle's mom pokes her head outside.
Hey, can you bring the firewood in from the side of the house while you're out here?
Sure.
Also, stop smoking. It's disgusting.
She shuts the door and goes back through the house.
Susie, are you talking to me? Why did you invite him?
Because.
Look, he's family.
He's not family. He grew up with us.
Mike goes to a pile of firewood beside the house. He stacks pieces on his arm. Mike finishes collecting a large armful of firewood. He enters the garage. He turns to shelves filled with trophies, framed photos, and football helmets. Mike drops the firewood onto the floor. He gazes at the memorabilia. Mike pulls out a framed photo of himself as a teenager standing by a football field. Kyle's mom, Susie, enters the garage.
Hey. Is that my football helmet?
Yeah.
I should have played in college.
She gives him a heartfelt look.
Hey.
What? Susie pulls him into a hug and pats his back.
How's everything going?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's great?
Peaky Blinders. That's pretty great.
Okay. What else besides Peaky Blinders?
That's about it.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
With your life, what are you doing?
What is this? Is this like an intervention? You trying to have a Christmas intervention on me?
Yes, this is a Christmas intervention.
Okay, well, thank you very much, but I don't want one.
Mike steps away, then faces her.
What do you want?
Nothing.
You want me to be, like, happy, and you want to know that I'm okay and everything's okay? I'm not okay.
You ever feel sorry for yourself?
All the time.
Yeah, stop doing that.
Why did you invite me here? Your son hates me.
Yeah, he should hate you.
I know. I'm a bad friend. I'm like a shitty person.
Okay, so fix it.
How?
Stop being selfish. You know, what you did to him was selfish and he was destroyed by it. So just stop thinking about yourself and how sad your life is and think about somebody else. You know, it just might make you feel good.
Okay.
Kyle's selfless. He always thinks about other people first. He always has. And people take advantage of that. And now he's getting married and I don't know.
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't know.
About Marissa?
Yeah. I don't know.
Frowning, Susie nods softly.
I'm glad you're here. Sometimes when you think you're doing the right thing, it hurts the people you love. And then sometimes when you think you're doing the wrong thing, it's actually what's needed.
Susie approaches the door, then turns around.
If you want to be a part of this family, then act like it.
She leaves the garage and enters the house. Brow tensed, Mike lowers his thoughtful gaze. He turns to the shelf of memorabilia and pulls out a football helmet. Mike puts the helmet on and fastens the chin strap. He stares at himself in a mirror. He hits the face mask, then smiles. Mike wobbles slightly. Still wearing the football helmet, he trudges into the house. He comes face to face with Kyle.
Hey, Mike. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Mike collapses onto a table.
Oh, my God! Mike!
What happened?
Mike,
oh, my God, Dad!
Give him some room. Give him some room.
Holy shit.
How much do you have to drink?
I gave him one eggnog.
How strong was it?
Bianca sips her drink.
Yeah, pretty strong.
Some water.
He'll be all right. He's going to be fine. I've seen him take bigger hits than that.
That guy's a legend.
Just leave him.
Is that Mike?
Yeah.
You got fat.
Kyle glances at Marissa.
He looks bad.
Maybe he just lost his balance.
I should really spend some more time with him.
I think he's fine right here.
Mike pulls on the Christmas tree. Daytime. On a snow-covered slope, two skiers perform synchronized spins in slow motion. The man and woman both wear white jumpsuits and white hats. They hold hands as they each glide on one ski. The couple continues performing synchronized spins as they move down the slope. A series of slow-motion glimpses shows the skiers gliding and spinning. The couple skis side by side. A drifting view shows tall trees. Cut to black. Text appears. 4. It's broken. On a ski lift, Mike offers Marissa a cigarette. Kyle sits between them.
Now she quit?
Mike puts a cigarette in his mouth and stows the pack. Marissa looks irritated. Kyle glances between them and Mike lights his cigarette.
Remember the blizzard of 96?
Yeah.
That was crazy. So glad you made it out.
Yeah, man, thanks for inviting me.
Kyle glances at Marissa, who stares straight ahead.
Babe, are the boots supposed to hurt so much?
Yeah.
You know those mountains that allow skiing and snowboarding?
Yeah, they're too crowded, and the snowboarders push off all the snow.
Kyle's a snowboarder.
Yeah, well, he's skiing now.
Fine. I'm learning how to ski. It's fine.
Hey, we should do catapult next.
Okay.
No, that's a black diamond. I don't think you're ready for that.
Okay.
It's a hill. You just go down it.
Yeah, but he's going to crash.
Okay, well, it's snow. If he crashes, it's snow.
I'd rather not crash.
Kyle, no one wants to crash.
Sorry, what is your point?
My point is that we're here on the mountain, and, you know, we're going down the bunny slopes with all the children, and, Kyle, you're a natural athlete.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. You can do any of these runs. I mean, look at that cliff over
there. Okay, great. Kyle, listen to me. It's your choice, but I wouldn't do it.
She shakes her head and heaves a sigh. Mike shares a look with Kyle, who then glances at Marissa.
Can we just do a cat's meow a couple more times?
Yeah, cool. Sweet.
Mike smokes his cigarette.
I'm doing catapult.
Mike puts on his ski goggles, then sticks the cigarette between his lips and dons his second glove. He lifts the safety bar. In a cabin at night, Mike wears a cast on his forearm, signed by Kyle.
Drink.
Okay, all right.
Kyle drinks a shot and Mike grins.
But you already know that.
I know.
Okay, well then, never have I ever had Lyme disease.
You have had Lyme disease, though.
Yeah, but you haven't.
I know. That's not how this game works. Drink.
What, again?
Yeah.
In the kitchen, Marissa pours wine into a decanter.
A different game. It's rock, paper, scissors.
But okay, so if I win, you have to drink. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
She looks annoyed.
Again. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No, no, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay, never have I ever been caught. Yeah, but I didn't get caught.
Marissa takes bread out of the oven.
Okay, I got one. Never have I ever been ice fishing.
I've never been ice fishing.
I want to.
Marissa brings wine glasses and the decanter to the living room.
You're just listing off allergies, as you know.
Drink.
Okay, what are you allergic to?
I'm not going to tell you.
What are you guys doing?
Jägermeister.
Why?
Because it's a ski trip and it has alcohol in it.
Wait, where's the cheese?
What cheese?
The cheese that the large block of cheese that I just brought out.
Is that not supposed to eat it?
Nope. It was for the bread.
What bread?
The bread that I'm making.
Looking irritated, she returns to the kitchen.
Thanks, Ed.
Okay, never have I ever been questioned about how I was touching a dog.
That never happened.
I'm not saying you inappropriately touch a dog. I'm saying, like, never have I ever been questioned. Like, Kyle, what are you doing with that dog?
Okay.
Kyle takes a shot.
You just keep asking me things you know the answers to already.
Yeah, I know. That's the point.
Okay. All right, well then, never have I ever warmed up chicken cutlets to masturbate.
Mike takes a shot. Marissa returns with the bread.
There you go.
Oh, see, it's like, it's super simple if you just understand.
You guys play Never Have I Ever with two people right now?
Yeah, we're catching up.
Do you want to play?
No, I just want to relax and have a glass of wine. Like an adult.
You know, if you do wine and Jägermeister together, it's like a whole experience.
I won't.
Well, this looks good, babe.
Thanks.
Kyle cuts the bread.
Okay, I got one. Never have I ever given a hand after junior prom at John Nicola's party. To,
Kevin.
You bitch.
Kevin Farrell.
Marissa scowls.
Never did I ever give a hand job to Kevin Farrell after junior prom. Drink. Drink.
Hal, will you help me with the kitchen?
Hold on.
Marissa leaves.
Never have I ever been asked to help with the kitchen.
Okay, Mike.
Kyle takes another shot, then leaves.
Hmm. All right.
Mike grabs a glass with his injured hand.
Oh.
As Mike pours himself wine, Kyle joins Marissa in the kitchen.
Really?
She tosses a pot holder on the stove.
I'm sorry, babe.
Using a piece of bread, he tries some dip.
Oh, my God.
I just took it out of the oven.
It's so hot. Why would it be so hot?
He drinks from the faucet.
Why is he still here? He was only supposed to stay for the day.
Yeah, but he broke his wrist.
Yeah, I'm aware. We were in the hospital for 4 hours. He has a car. He'd leave.
Yeah, but he's on painkillers and now he's drunk, so.
Yeah, you're drinking with him.
Yeah,
so? I just want to be drunk with you. I'm, like, being naked in every room and, like, have sex everywhere.
Okay.
They share a passionate kiss.
Look, he's got to go.
Yeah, he's gonna go tomorrow.
So. No. I mean, like, he's gotta go away. Like, somewhere else. That's, like, not in our lives.
But he's my friend.
She briefly shuts her eyes.
I know. You're the best. But I can't do this.
Hey, you guys have any more wine?
Mike holds the empty decanter.
You finished that guy?
I did, yeah.
It's impressive.
Thanks.
Yeah, we do have more wines in the fridge. You just help yourself. That's mine.
She takes her wine glass away from Mike, then turns to Kyle.
Kyle, I'm gonna go to bed.
Okay.
Good night.
Twist stop, sweet.
Mike takes a wine bottle from the fridge.
Wow. Whole thing?
Yeah.
He opens a cabinet and gets two glasses.
Why do you have to be like this?
Like what?
Fuck up.
Oh, fuck. Stop.
He burns his mouth on the dip, then drinks from the faucet.
All right, listen, I'm going to bed. The pillow and blanket are behind the couch, so.
Wait, come. Where are you going?
Mike pours wine.
Going to bed.
He offers a glass to Kyle.
It's New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I'm aware.
So. Are you gonna have sex?
That's none of your business.
But it's like almost midnight. So, like, if you're not gonna have sex, we should bang pots and pans.
Kyle starts to walk away.
going to bed.
It's a tradition. If you're not going to bang with her, we should bang pots and pans.
I'm going to bed, Mike. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Holding the glass of wine, Kyle saunters to the stairs.
Wait, Kyle?
He turns back.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I just want to say, thank you, you know, for having me here and, you know, for being, like, friends again.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm trying to be less selfish.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, think about others before myself. And I think about you a lot, you know, and it's like, I know you guys are engaged and you're going to get married and everything. But, you know, I don't know.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I just, like, want to fix things with us, you know? And sometimes, like, when you're trying to do the right thing, it's the wrong thing. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Okay.
They share an awkward look. Mike sips his wine.
Good night.
Good night. Never have I ever been named Kyle.
Huh. Kyle and Mike gulp the rest of their drinks and set the glasses down. Kyle goes upstairs. He continues down the hallway and out of view. Our view drifts down the hall and around a corner to reveal Kyle stripping naked in the bedroom. He hops onto the bed. Smiling, Kyle props himself up onto his side. The naked man faces the slightly open bathroom door located in the hall just outside the bedroom. A small mirror on the wall reflects Kyle's face. He shuts his eyes. Kyle falls asleep and his head flops onto the bed. Marissa emerges from the bathroom, wearing a robe over her lacy black lingerie. She enters the bedroom and shuts the door.
Kyle.
She climbs on the bed.
Kyle, wake up.
She shakes him.
Kyle, wake up. Kyle. Coral, wake up, you bitch.
She shakes him again.
Wake up, I want to do pasta.
Looking disappointed, Marissa sits by his legs. She flicks his penis and briefly looks amused. She gazes down at him, then shakes her head. Looking thoughtful, she glances at Kyle before getting off the bed. She puts on shorts. In the kitchen, she sits with Mike.
He doesn't want to realize he's my best friend.
Marissa smokes a cigarette.
Why are you marrying him?
because he's loyal and he's a good person and he'll always be there. And the sex is great. I don't know, why did you marry your wife?
Because I loved her.
She takes another drag on the cigarette, then puts it out.
How's your brother Ronnie doing?
He's good.
Yeah?
He's better. Mm-hmm.
They each drink a shot.
Is he still dealing drugs?
No, I don't think so. But they weren't drugs. It was painkillers.
She pours more shots.
He was so much fun in high school.
Yeah.
You were fun in high school too, though.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were things about you you know, that were fun, like when you weren't being yourself.
I'm just kidding.
Ew.
I know. No, I just feel like, I feel like we had like a connection, you know, at one time or another.
You think so?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, we're both like these very primal creatures, you know?
Laughing, she chokes on her drink. Mike drunkenly leans in and kisses her.
What?
She recoils, covers her mouth, and stares off. Standing close to her, Mike takes a small step back.
What the fuck was that?
He leaves the room and she follows him.
What the fuck was that?
Hey. Hey.
She shoves him on a couch.
Hey. What the fuck was that? What did you do? Why did you do that?
He looks away.
Look at me. Did you want to kiss me?
No.
Fuck you.
Marissa pulls up on the top of her bra.
So what did you think was going to happen? Did you, like, that you would seduce me and we would fuck and then Kyle would just call off the wedding? Is that what you thought?
Yeah. Like, hopefully.
You dumb fuck.
He tries to move, but she stops him.
Because you know what? If we did have sex, he wouldn't break up with me. He would break up with you.
She straddles him.
Wanna fuck me?
No.
Go ahead.
No.
Go ahead,
no.
Big guy.
No.
Fucking kiss me. Fuck me.
I don't want to.
Fuck.
He shoves her away and flees.
Follow through with your master plan, you sick fuck.
She chases him around furniture, then grabs hold of his injured arm.
You weren't just dead weight from his childhood.
Be too fucking nice.
He kisses her.
Fuck off of me.
She shoves him.
You fat, sad, dead.
Mike lifts Marissa and drops her on the couch. Cut to black. Text appears. 5. Stop it. A truck drives through a snowy residential neighborhood.
Too good. This is too good. Too good to last.
Kyle shovels snow in a driveway. The truck stops and 2 men in different colored ski masks get out. They charge at Kyle.
What the fuck? You...
They slam him onto the snow and wrestle with him. The man in the red mask punches Kyle in the stomach, then grabs something from the snow. The man in the black mask holds onto Kyle as the other man stows his phone. Holding Kyle's arms, the assailants drag him to the covered bed of the pickup truck. The man in the red mask opens the tailgate, then punches Kyle again. Kyle flails as they load him into the truck.
Fuck, help! Help! Somebody help! Help! Help!
The masked men hurry into the truck and drive off.
Help!
Snow blankets a forest. In the distance, the masked men drag Kyle between trees. With his arms tied behind his back, Kyle struggles against them. The man in the red mask falls and gets back up.
Can we take a break?
The men ignore him. Kyle's yellow hat covers his eyes. He staggers clumsily as the men pull him along. They pause briefly, then keep dragging him.
Guys!
They sit Kyle on his knees and stand a short distance behind him.
Please. Please. Guys.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. But please listen. I don't know what's going on.
Shut up.
One man shoves Kyle.
Shut up.
The other man sits him up.
What are you doing? What? Why are you doing that voice? To disguise my voice. Yeah, but I'm doing that voice, so pick another voice. It's just a Batman voice. And stop doing it. I don't have another voice.
The man in the red mask shrugs.
Through a voice like this, you could do this farce.
That's perfect. You do that, I'll do this. No, I'm doing the bat. I'm doing the one I just showed you. I practiced it. You do the one that I just did. I can't do that one. You're not even trying. Fine.
I'll do this for us, okay? But this is why I wanted to practice.
Mike?
No.
Kyle turns to the man in red.
It's you!
Mike removes his mask.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my
God. God damn it, Ronnie.
This is awesome. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey. Stop laughing.
That's why I wanted to do the guns. It's so much scarier with the guns.
This is great, guys.
Mike removes Kyle's hat.
It's fucking... Wow. Ruined. It's ruined.
No, it's not. It's great. It's great. Just keep going. I'll go along with it. Keep going.
Ronnie dons his mask.
Are you ready to die?
No, Mike. Do it in the voice. You gotta do it in the Batman voice.
Okay.
Go, 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 go.
Are you ready to die?
No.
And I'm gonna say, are you ready to get fucked up?
No, don't fuck me up, man.
And then I was gonna be like,
are you ready for the best bachelor party of your life?
Kyle grins excitedly.
Yes! Yes! This is awesome. Can you untie me, though? You guys did a really good job.
In an ice fishing shack, ice gets scooped away from the small fishing hole. Ronnie snorts a substance as he sits next to Kyle.
What is that?
He offers some to Kyle.
You're an ice fisher, man. I gotta make this fun somehow.
No, okay. Come on.
George, Mike, and Uncle Mark sit nearby.
I just want to say thanks, guys, for setting this up. Like, I've always wanted to go ice fishing, so...
Talk to him. He planned the whole thing. Mike, I wanted to take you to the AC. Still do the whole, kidnapping thing, but when we took the hood off, have it be at the strip club.
It's not a bachelor party without a stripper.
I don't need a stripper, Uncle Mark.
Kyle, it's not a bachelor party without a stripper.
Okay, I gotta go pee. Here.
Kyle hands his fishing rod to George, then steps over the hole and leaves the shack. Ronnie wipes his nose, then points after Kyle.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah.
Best.
It's too bad he's marrying my sister. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like her. Yeah, I love her, obviously. But, it's too bad he's marrying my sister.
Mike wears a gloomy expression.
He's a good guy.
He glances toward the door. Ronnie offers the drugs.
Oh, no, I'm okay. Yeah. Taking all this?
What's my name? Skip?
Mike gives George his rod and leaves.
I want some cocaine.
No, it's not coke. It's Ritalin.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm looking for a bachelor party.
Oh, yeah, it's right in there.
Oh, thanks.
The woman heads to the shack.
Hi.
Kyle approaches Mike and gives him a big hug. Mike pats him on the back.
Thanks for doing this.
No problem.
Kyle heads away from the shack. Mike strolls with him.
Listen. I've been thinking a lot about it with the wedding coming up. And I don't have many friends who know me, you know.
Mike walks ahead of him.
And I gotta pick a best man. So I was thinking...
I slept with Marissa.
Kyle stops and Mike keeps walking.
Kyle, did you hear me?
Yeah.
Kyle slowly follows.
I know this probably means the end of our friendship again.
Uh-huh.
And you'll probably have to call off the wedding.
Kyle shakes his head.
I know it hurts right now,
Mike,
but
shut
maybe...
the fuck up. Just shut up, okay? She told me what happened. She said you were drunk and you made a slapping move and she called you fat and pathetic.
That's not what happened.
I don't care. I don't care what happened.
If you love someone, you should care what happened.
Yeah, I don't. I'm done caring. I just want someone who wants to be with me. I'm gonna start a family and be happy.
Mike glances back at him. They both continue walking.
You should still break up with her.
You're a fucking idiot. You don't think I know what you're doing? I know you don't like her. I know my mom and sisters don't like her.
Nobody likes her.
Nobody likes you, Mike. I'm the only one who likes you. And I don't know why, because you're fucking toxic. You're loud and obnoxious and you're an asshole.
They stop and face each other.
I know I'm an asshole. And I know no one likes me. I don't like me, okay? Man, I'm not a happy person anymore. And that's okay. You know, but you're Kyle. You're the best person I know.
You make people around you happier just by being yourself. And I'm sorry if what I did killed a little bit of that, but she's not right for you.
Our view tracks Mike as he continues away.
And I'm not saying that because I don't like her. Which I don't. At all. She's not right for you because she doesn't want you the way you are. She wants some other version of you that fits what she's looking for, but fuck that. That's not what love's about. It's difficult, and it's complicated, and it's painful. And it doesn't go away.
Mike wears a troubled expression.
Man, she's not good enough for you.
He stops walking, but doesn't turn around.
And I'm not good enough for you. If I really cared about you, I'd just leave you alone.
Kyle falls into a hole in the ice.
Kyle? Kyle! Holy shit! Kyle! Hold on! Kyle!
Mike reaches into the water as Kyle goes under. Our view drops below the surface and sinks past Kyle, who frantically kicks his legs. Our view turns upward, showing Mike as he reaches into the hole and sweeps his arm through the water. His red hat falls in and drifts near the surface. As he continues to grasp for his friend, Mike dips his face in the water. Our view rises out of the water.
Kyle! Holy shit!
Mike reaches in the hole.
Kyle! Kyle!
He sits up briefly.
Kyle!
Kyle surfaces and Mike helps him climb out.
Holy shit! Okay. Oh my god, are you okay? Okay, you're okay. Oh, holy shit.
Kyle lies on his back on the ice. Mike pats him on the chest.
Okay.
Oh. Mike grins briefly, then gazes around.
Hey, how much of that did you hear? What I was saying.
A drifting view tilts upward to the sky, then lowers to a man in a puffy jacket playing a violin. The ice fishing shack sits in the distance. A man in a fur cap plays accordion beside the violinist. Beside the accordion player, a man in a red scarf sings.
Ничьяка месячна зоря на ясная, видно хоть горки збирай.
The singing man plays a guitar. The musicians stand side by side on the ice with the shack in the distance behind them. Cut to black. Text appears. 6. Grow up. 2 old men eat ice cream cones on a bench. Mike paces nearby.
Hey, Kyle. It's Mike. Not sure if you've been getting any of my messages, but I was going to see a movie later. Maybe tonight. Or now, if you wanted to come. I could also go tomorrow, if you're free, but today's my birthday, so I figured I would do that. So, yeah. Call me back, man. All right, bye.
One of the old men watches Mike, who stands out of view.
Hello?
Hey, Marissa, it's Mike. Are you with Kyle? Because I'm trying to get a hold of him, and I...
Hello? Hello?
Mike darts across the street, and a car almost hits him. Mike enters Carino's Crandall Theater. A poster reads, French Film Retrospective. Another features the movie César and Rosalie.
Hey, can I get one ticket?
Sure, for which movie?
The one that's playing now, I guess.
Okay, that'll be $7.50.
Okay, do you guys still have that thing where it's free on your birthday?
Yeah.
It's my birthday.
Can I see your license?
Yeah. No, actually, I don't have a license at the moment. It's a whole thing.
We need some kind of ID for the birthday special.
Sorry. I've got like that.
I don't know if I can take this.
It's a social security card?
Yeah, but it's not a valid form of ID.
It's the most valid form of ID.
It doesn't have your picture. Or your birthday.
Our view drifts away from Mike at the ticket counter. A theater employee brings a broom and dustpan downstairs. He passes another employee at the concession stand who reads a book. The drifting view enters the theater as a film plays. Subtitles appear on the screen. Too quickly, she went bad. On screen, a bride and groom kneel in a church. But when I think about it, I could just as well have married Martine. Mike watches the movie from a row near the back of the sparsely populated theater. He wears a vacant expression. He spots a young couple across the aisle. They hold each other and make out. Mike looks back at the screen. A portly man several rows ahead of the couple turns around and briefly watches them. Our view drifts down the aisle, then turns to the movie screen. It now shows Kyle's wedding. The image fills our view. Kyle kneels beside Marissa at the altar. Their families sit in the church pews behind them. The bride and groom wear solemn expressions.
Please join us in prayer.
They bow their heads.
Be attentive to our prayers, O Lord. And in your kindness, pour out your grace on these, your servants, Kyle and Marissa.
Kyle's parents look dour. Other family members wear bored expressions.
They may be confirmed in love for one another through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this joyous celebration. Now the groom's sisters, Bianca and Dana, will read from the book of Ephesians.
The sisters approach a podium on the dais. Kyle and Marissa remain on their padded kneelers in front of the priest. Bianca faces the wedding guests.
I'm actually going to read from Revelation, chapter 2, verse 10.
Our view moves away.
Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
In the back row on the bride's side, a man wears headphones.
A reading from Ephesians. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord.
Our view leaves the sanctuary.
For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Thank you, Your Honor.
Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our slow-moving view continues to drift backwards, leaving the church. A sign reads, Our Lady of Life. A statue nearby depicts a woman holding an infant as two young children worship. The slow-moving view continues to draw back from the church. A reserved parking sign stands in the lot nearby. The sign bears the wheelchair symbol. Viewed through the distant entryway, the priest continues the wedding service. Mike crashes into the reserved parking sign. He steps out wearing a white tuxedo and a bow tie.
Let's go.
He strides purposefully toward the church. Mike passes through the lobby. He enters the sanctuary as the service continues, stopping partway up the aisle.
And assume the responsibilities of married life.
Oh, and in this church. Good.
I object.
Excuse me, sir. There's no objection in this.
I'm sorry, area. Father. He's my best friend.
Sir, get out of my church.
Well, wait a second. Let him speak.
Oh, boy.
Here Don't marry go. Her, Kyle.
No!
Marissa marches up to Mike and punches him in the face, then yanks his hair.
Let me go, Ronnie!
Hey.
Kyle's dad faces Mike.
It's my wedding!
Are you all right?
It's my wedding day!
Look, sometimes you get knocked down, you gotta get right back in there.
Fuck is he gonna wear white?
Kyle.
What are you doing, man?
You deserve to be with someone who loves you. For who you are. This beautiful man. You're a beautiful man. And I love you. So does everyone here. Or at least the people on this side. I just don't think she loves you.
Kyle, I love you.
Okay, maybe, but you definitely don't love
me. Mike, shut up!
Wait. Marissa grabs Kyle.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Why do you love me?
Because you're driven, and because you always get what you want, and you never listen when people say no, and you're always pushing me to do things that I don't want to do, and constantly change.
That's why? Do you really think that this is my master plan, that I wanted to get married to the guy that I broke up with after high school? Because it's not. But I don't know what I want, and I don't know what I need, but I do know that I love you. And I didn't expect to, but I do.
Okay, you didn't let me finish. I was trying to say that all those things, that's what I need. I love that you push me, because it makes me change, and otherwise I'd stay the same. And I don't want to stay the same.
She briefly shuts her eyes.
And you're so funny and beautiful.
She presses her lips to his, and they share a tender kiss.
I love you.
I love you too.
Mike approaches.
Hey, can I just say...
Nope.
Mike.
Because I had a whole...
I'm pregnant. We're getting married.
Kyle's mom wears an excited grin.
Oh, my God. A baby?
Marissa nods.
Just go.
Kyle gazes at Mike. Lingering in the aisle, Mike wears a somber expression. Guests settle back into the pews. George approaches Mike.
That was awesome.
Thanks.
Mike sits down.
I think we need to take a moment so I can
talk to you both
in private.
We're okay. Ready.
Matrimony demands full consent from both parties.
We consent. Kyle, do you consent?
I do.
Great.
I'm going to insist that we hold off on this until you both have had a chance to think about this incredible decision you're going to make.
Are you serious?
Oh, I am serious.
51% of marriages end in divorce, and pregnancy can create undue pressure. I encourage both of you to consider the magnitude of this decision so you may return here without coercion, freely and wholeheartedly.
When?
After the child's born.
Marissa shuts her eyes.
What the fuck? I'm sorry, Father. Shit.
She lifts her veil. The couple bows their heads in disappointment. A blurred view focuses to reveal cyclists on an outdoor track. Two of them pop wheelies. People watch from bleachers as the two cyclists speed by. Standing on their pedals, the riders bounce their bikes. Now they balance in place. More cyclists balance in place as well. The cyclists race. A close view of a bike's rear wheel transitions to the spinning wheel of a bike on display in a shop. A mustached man in a light pink cycling jersey puts a cap on his balding head. He looks across the shop.
Hey, Mike, do you know how much longer it's gonna be?
I'm repairing a bike, Gary. This isn't McDonald's.
Where?
Wearing an apron, Mike spins the wheel of an upturned bike.
Hey, where have you been riding this thing? It's all corroded. It looks like it's been in the ocean.
Well, you know, mostly I take it on the Taconic bike path. But yeah, I've been going down to the beach lately, trying to meet people since my mom passed. And, you know, it's a talk thing. Like people, you know, bring their dogs and talk about the dog. You're like,
hey.
Oh, look at my
Marissa
bike.
Stands in the doorway.
Bike. That's good exercise.
Gary, I have a customer.
Yeah, sure.
Mike faces her.
What do you want?
Can I get a cappuccino?
Sure.
Mike goes to a nearby counter and begins making the drink. With a polite grin, Marissa steps closer. Mike wears a cycling cap with the brim turned upward. He glances at her as he continues working.
Are you looking to buy a bike?
Nope. He grabs a milk carton and pours some into a small frothing pitcher. Mike puts the pitcher under a nozzle and steams the milk.
I'm sorry, what?
He misses you.
He continues working. Mike adds the milk into a to-go coffee cup. He rotates the pitcher in circles as he pours. He finishes, then sets the cup in front of Marissa.
Thank you.
Sure.
How much do I owe you?
It's on me.
Sure?
Yeah.
Gary looks over.
Hey, if you're handing out frappuccinos, I'll take one. You know, if your bathroom working?
Gary, please go outside.
Okay. Yeah, no problem, man.
Out.
Gary saunters out of the bike shop.
Why are you here?
Gary sits out front. Two cyclists chat nearby. Our view drifts past them. Sitting in a parked SUV, Kyle entertains a baby on his lap. He pretends to feed the child a toy cactus. He moves the toy in front of his eyes and makes silly faces at the baby.
You little cowboy.
The baby smiles.
You're so cute. You want this? I know. That's what I was saying.
He lifts the baby. Marissa gets in the car.
Hey, Trey?
Yeah.
She sets down the cappuccino and Kyle hands her the baby.
He's a cactus.
Thank you. Cactus. Oh, shit. I forgot my card in there. Can you grab it for me?
Sure.
Kyle takes the cappuccino and gets out. He glances at his wife and child, then approaches the bicycle shop. Kyle sips the drink and grimaces slightly. He passes Gary, who sits in front of the shop. Halting at the entrance, Kyle stares into the shop with a frown. Cut to black. Text appears. 7. Fine. Outside a modest two-story home, a realtor adjusts a crooked for sale sign.
What now, my love? Now that you left me.
Holding the sign upright with one hand, the realtor retrieves a mallet from his bag. He pounds the top of the sign.
Watching my dreams.
As he continues hitting the sign, it breaks apart.
People are not lazy. They simply have impotent goals. What does impotent mean?
A boy reads while Marissa cooks.
It means that you can't, that you have trouble doing something, you know?
A real decision is measured by the fact that you've taken a new action. And if there's no action, you haven't truly decided.
Hey, baby, did you finish your homework?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, maybe what we can do is finish your homework, and then we can get back to reading Tony Robbins, okay?
Mike packs plates in a box, then carries it outside as Marissa serves pancakes to her son.
One pancake. One.
Okay.
Just one for you. Four for me.
Mike drops the box.
Jesus Christ.
Mom.
Cry.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry. All right.
Kyle and Mike pick up the broken pieces.
This one didn't break.
Great.
I'll get it. I'll pick it up.
Kyle heads toward the house.
I'll get some glue.
A moving truck sits in the road out front. Wearing a gloomy expression, Kyle goes inside. He kisses his son on the head. Kyle pats the boy, then wanders sadly into the kitchen. He looks around at items on shelves. With her back to Kyle, Marissa cooks at the stove. He grabs two glasses.
Hey, what did we say about the glasses?
We said that I get the glassware and you get the plates. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Kyle puts the glasses back on the shelf. He leans on the counter and gazes at Marissa, who continues facing the stove as she cooks. Kyle wanders to a cabinet and shuts the doors. They share a brief look.
Hey, gotta move your truck, man.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, give me a
Going outside, Kyle finds Mike on the truck's lift gate. The passenger in a student driver car yells at him.
Hey, stop beeping your fucking horn!
Hey, you need to move your truck.
Go around!
The student driver reverses.
Don't you move this car.
I said stop beeping your fucking horn!
Move your truck!
Fuck you!
Mike slams the roll-up door.
Hey, buddy! There's no chance in fucking hell I'm moving this truck now, you understand me? Hey! Stop
Mike stands on the car's hood. The instructor gets out.
Really? Come on, motherfucker.
I'm sorry.
Come on!
I'm sorry.
Come on!
No, look, man, I'm fucking sorry.
Mike cowers on the ground.
You fuck! Move the fucking truck! Asshole!
Mike runs off.
What, you got
nothing,
something to say?
Nothing, no.
You want to say something?
Nothing, I got nothing.
The instructor returns to the car.
Fucking motherfucker.
Mike sits in the truck.
Kyle, I'll be right back!
Okay.
He drives the truck away. The instructor gets in the car and the student drives off.
What's going on?
Marissa comes outside.
Driving school.
Ouch.
Sorry, Mike broke a plate.
Okay.
Marissa takes out a cigarette. Kyle steps closer to her, then regards the house.
It's a great house.
Marissa faces it.
Yeah.
She lights her cigarette and takes a drag, then waves away the smoke. Standing beside her, Kyle puts his hands in his pockets.
Listen, I'm gonna talk to Otis's teacher about the whole math thing.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I emailed her, but it will be good if you talk to her because, you know, she likes you better.
He lowers his gaze and shifts on his feet. Marissa takes another drag. Kyle touches her arm, then holds her hand. Mike returns in the truck.
Sorry. The horn was like... Let's go.
Kyle steps away from Marissa and grabs three boxes from the yard. As he looks back at Marissa, he drops a box. Kyle quickly collects the spilled objects back into the box.
I'll see ya.
He carries the boxes around the truck to the passenger side. Mike gives Marissa a small wave.
Hey, Mike, I got it.
Mike leans over to help Kyle, and the truck moves forward slightly. The truck moves again. Mike hits the brakes, causing Kyle to stumble.
Why do you still have tapes?
Mike drives away. Marissa lingers in the yard. Her son runs outside.
Dad!
He darts into the street.
Careful!
Dad, wait for me!
The boy runs after the truck.
Dad, wait! Dad!
Mike stops the truck a short distance down the street, then backs partially into a driveway. Kyle gets out and his son approaches him.
Hey.
Dad, why didn't you wait for me?
The house is like three houses down. You're okay, don't worry.
On another day, Mike and Kyle ride bikes.
You know, I read that 70% of long-term prison inmates are a product of divorce.
That's not funny.
I agree, it's not funny at all. It's tragic.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. You're riding great.
Kyle's son rides along the country road with them.
Those training wheels are slowing him down. You know that, right?
He needs them.
You wouldn't need them if you taught him how to ride a bike.
Mike, we talked about this. You don't get a say.
I'm not trying to get a say. I'm just saying that, like, he's a natural athlete and...
Marissa already made a decision. It's his choice.
Mike looks annoyed.
Hey, Otis. You want to take those training wheels off and ride a bike like an actual person?
Yeah.
Kyle glares at Mike.
Okay, fine. You want to?
Yeah.
All right, here you go. Let's pull over. There you go. Stop. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
They stop and dismount their bikes. Kyle sets his bike beside Mike, who holds it. Tipping over Otis's bike, Kyle struggles to remove the training wheels.
Fuck. God. Damn it.
Dad.
Sorry.
He gets one training wheel off, then flips the bike over.
Do you want some help with this?
No, I got it.
Kyle yanks the other wheel.
God.
Mike pulls a small object from his jacket pocket.
Kyle, I have a tool.
No, I got it.
He puts the tool away.
All right.
Kyle hands the training wheels to Mike.
Okay, Otis.
He turns the bike right side up and kneels down to face his son. Mike throws the training wheels onto the roadside.
All right. So, riding a bike is just like riding a bike with training wheels, okay? You just look straight ahead, don't look down, and if you get freaked out, you just put your feet down and stop, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead and get on. And don't be scared, okay?
I'm not scared.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, if you are scared, that's okay.
I'm not.
Okay.
Hey, Otis, when you crash, just get back on the bike, you know?
Really?
Yeah, he's gonna crash, so he should know, like, what to do when that happens, you know?
Yeah, but why are you putting that in his head?
I'm not putting it in his head. I'm just telling him so that he has an understanding. He's riding.
Otis! Oh, just keep pedaling! Oh,
Kyle runs to Otis, and Mike follows with their bikes.
Otis, are you hurt? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Which one?
I'm okay.
Oh, okay.
Kyle helps Otis up.
Okay. Now listen, man. Sometimes in life, we fall down and it hurts, okay? But that's when it's important for us to get back on the bike and ride.
I know. Uncle Mike just said that.
Kyle glances at Mike.
Hey, Otis, you want some orange, Gina?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Just take it easy, okay? Just take a moment.
God, this is so stressful.
Kyle turns his back and sips from Mike's water bottle.
He's fine, I'm telling you. Oh, he's going again.
Dad!
Oh,
shit. Okay. I'm doing it! Dad, look!
He's going!
You're doing great! Just pedaling! Keep pedaling!
You're doing great, Otis!
Oh, my gosh, he is doing great.
Holy shit, he's going really
fast. He's going really fast. Wow.
Mounting their bikes, Mike and Kyle follow Otis.
Great work, Otis!
Great work! Wow. Wow.
Kyle grins.
He's got a great cadence. Yeah?
Yeah.
Takes after...
Mike, stop.
I'm just saying, he's a natural athlete. That has to be genetic.
Just keep pedaling up, stay to this side, so Mom doesn't get mad at me. Hey.
I was blue and all
look
alone.
At you!
Yes,
look at you! It's amazing!
Wow.
The three of them ride side by side down the road. Otis high fives Mike.
No. I'm like high fiving Mike.
Keep going.
We gotta push it. Out of the saddle. Push.
Cut to black.
With your eyes, you smiled. Hello. Gracias.
Produced by Noah Lang, Michelangelo Covino, Kyle Marvin. Executive producers Michael Bloom, Adam Pincus, Ryan Heller. Executive producer Gilda Moratti. Co-executive producer Jason Fisher. Associate producer Talia Cohen. Director of photography Zach Cooperstein. Editor Sarah Shaw. Costume designer Callan Stokes. Original score by John Natchez, Martin Mabs. Casting by Jessica Kelly, Rebecca Dealey. Music supervisor, Linda Cohen. Credits roll. Associate producers, Jess Ford, Alex Moriello, Derek Rubin, Emily Cordeweg, Sam Kretschmar. First assistant director, Chad Harbold. Unit production manager, Derek Rubin. Additional first assistant directors, Jordan Drake, James Fitzgerald. Second assistant directors, Hannah Scheinkopf, Alex Burstein. Cast: Kyle Marvin as Kyle, Michelangelo Covino as Mike, Gail Rankin as Marissa, Talia Balsam as Susie, George Wendt as Jim, Judith Godrich as Ava, Daniela Covino as Danny, Eden Mullen as Bianca, Chris Avedisian as Ronnie, Sandra James as Grandma, Todd Barry as Uncle Mark, Meredith Holtzman as Jackie, Eric Pumphrey as George, Jason Baxter as Otis, David Neil Levin as Gary, Zena Wild as Sarah, Mike Massimino as Rick, Daniel O'Callaghan as Poppy Doc, William Bellis as Old Man, Philip Burgers as Realtor, Lionel Tavera as French Driver, Otis McKee as French Boy, Alexander Blaze as French Doctor, Rachel Kylian as French Nurse, John Dinello as Frogtown Union Cemetery Boss, Corey Pierno as Cemetery Worker, Mark Webster as funeral priest, Fenton Lawless as wedding priest, Janaea Lindsay as driver's ed student, Jazzy Williams as ticket attendant, Katrine Hoyt, Julie Chateauvert, Tom Stratford, Warren Davis, Kevin Wall, Anthony Paglia as family members, Leonard Ford, James Reeder, Bernard Taylor, Jared Burrell as cemetery singers, Sergei Pobedinskil, Valerie Zmud, Andrei Solodenko as Ukrainian singers, Ali McKee, Thibault Latan, Marshall Opel, Thomas Navarro, Frederick Giovannini, Aurelie Chapon as Peloton riders, Andre Cerezo, Jonathan Cordero, Michelle Kazi, Louis Scattareggi as velodrome riders. Songs: Monsieur Detour, Le Vieux Léon, Lullaby, Cache Cache, Volvitra, Drinkin' Thing, Santa Mouse, Christmas Bride, Oui Pourrait-il, Running Off the Road, Too Good, Bruised, Ave Maria, Les Enfants de l'Avenir, La Plus Belle Chanson, 7 years ago, What Now, My Love, Et Maintenant, Shy Shy Girl, Gracias a Dios, Country of Origin, United States of America. The Climb Film LLC is the author of this motion picture for the purposes of U.S. copyright law and the Berne Convention, as well as other international laws giving effect thereto. The characters and events portrayed in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual events is purely coincidental. Ownership of this motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition of this motion picture or any part thereof, including soundtrack, could result in criminal prosecution as well as civil liability. This film has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from Sony Pictures Classics. Read by Xanthi Page. For more information about motion picture access, visit our website at access.wgbh.org. The Climb. Copyright 2019 Topic Studios LLC. All rights reserved. Topic: Sony Pictures Classics.